There's not enough substance to keep people for a full day. People are already leaving and the park has only been open a few hours. Others came up and the conversation shifted as they mingled with other guests at the reception. Minutes later, Eisner spotted Vandekamp and strode toward her. "I understand you've been griping," he said, his tone cold. Vandekamp was startled, first that Iger had already reported something she felt she'd told him in confidence, and second that Eisner seemed so angry. "I was just expressing some concerns and observations," she replied. "We're here to look. We invested a lot of money in this. As a director, I think it's appropriate to share my concerns." But when she reported the exchange to Gold and his wife, she wondered why she was being so defensive. Eisner was the one behaving inappropriately in her view. Later, Eisner complained to Gold that he and Vandekamp had skipped the Friday dinner. "Most of the board didn't come at all," Gold countered. Eisner liked to boast that Disneyland Paris was the most popular tourist attraction in Europe, with 12 million visitors a year, more than the Eiffel Tower. Disney's goal for the Disney Studios attraction was to increase that by 50% to 18 million a year. But by the end of the year, that looked hopelessly optimistic. After returning from Paris, Gold had lunch with fellow board member Tom Murphy in New York at Café des Artistes, near ABC's former headquarters. In Gold's view, ABC was floundering. The Bloomberg contract had been a fiasco, and the family acquisition was a disaster. Roy was reporting that morale at feature animation and at the theme parks, the parts of the company he cared most about, was slumping. Gold had told Eisner he was close to asking for his resignation. Now he was even closer, and had decided to sound out other board members. "Michael doesn't know what he's doing," he said. "I think it may be time for a change." To Gold's surprise, Murphy said, "Let me shake your hand. I'm proud of you for speaking your mind. Finally, someone is willing to speak the truth." Murphy, who had been close to Warren Buffett since Buffett acquired his large stake in Cap Cities, added that Buffett had told him that he wouldn't consider investing again in Disney as long as Eisner was chief executive. Murphy suggested that Gold speak next to Ray Watson. When he returned to California, Gold called Watson, now the longest-serving member of the board. They met for lunch at Sai Sai, a Japanese restaurant in the Biltmore Hotel in downtown Los Angeles, far from Burbank and Hollywood, as they did every year for a private discussion. "Things are bad," Gold said. "I believe Michael has lost his way." Like Murphy, Watson readily agreed that it might be time for a change. "Management is in chaos," he said, adding that Eisner had no sensible plan for solving the problem or finding a successor. It came as a surprise to Gold when, less than a week later, he got a call from Eisner. "I know you're talking to people," Eisner said icily. Gold realized his confidence had been betrayed. He assumed Watson had told Eisner, since Gold had heard nothing after his lunch with Murphy. Still, he couldn't be sure. With Iger making the decisions for the ABC network that spring, Steve Bornstein had little choice but to focus on the troubled Family Channel. With the repurposing strategy in turmoil and the plight of the Family Channel worsening by the day, he turned to Angela Shapiro, a veteran of ABC Daytime, whom he considered one of the company's